Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everyone, and welcome to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Today, we're celebrating 2 years of Franchise Interviews in our 100th show. We'll talk about highlights from the last 100 shows, what we learned, what's ahead for the next 2 years, and even some funny moments from the show. You'll also hear clips from legends in franchising, like Jim Rudolph, CEO of Rita's Water Ice Franchise Opportunity, the legendary Michael Gerber, Hall of Fame Speaker Warren Gresham, John Hewitt, the founder of Jackson Hewitt and Liberty Tax Franchise Opportunity, George Native, founder of Boston Market Franchise Opportunity, Kevin Hine, one of the top franchise attorneys in the country, and Gary Oki Grasso. And that's coming up in segment two of Franchise Interviews. So stick around because we've got a great show.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed about owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. Don, welcome back to our 100th show in 2 years of doing the show. Congratulations, my friend.
Hey, congratulations to yourself, Marty. It's a pretty big accomplishment.
I can't believe we've reached this level so far,
this number, 100 shows.
It's a milestone, isn't it? I mean, again, doesn't it seem like yesterday that we started doing the show? I mean, it's just incredible.
Yeah, quick couple of years, for sure.
It sure went by fast, you know. And I was mentioning to you before the show this morning, I was listening to the our first show that we did with PB Loco, which we'll talk about. But it's just been incredible. I mean, the amount of interviews that we've done up to this point.
Right.
You know, I thought we kind of start off with highlights from the show, you know, and I guess I'll start with you, Don. You know, as far as, you know, what were some highlights for you?
Well, I mean, I think just, just the diversity of all the different
mm-hmm.
people we've had on and, you know, the friends we've made from doing the show and just
true.
So much that we've learned. I mean, you know, we came into doing this knowing a lot about franchising. We've both been in the industry a while, but
right.
there's just so much more to learn. And we have so much more plans for the show and you know, what we want to do. I mean, we really just, you know, started. Even though we've done 100 shows, we really just started the process here on what really our, future goals are going to be with the show. And, you know, just how much we've learned about the history of franchising from a lot of the
mm-hmm.
people that we've had on and, you know, all the people we've had on who just the passion that they've showed in their companies and the franchises that they work for. It's just been so interesting hearing people's background and
right.
The history and how they came about being in the position that they're in today. And, you know, the growth of a franchise companies like, Brian Spindell of PostNet. It was interesting, him and his partner,
right.
Starting out, just a couple guys in college.
It's amazing, yeah.
Starting that type of business and what it evolved into. Yeah, I mean, I love hearing the success stories. Just like a couple of the guys I met down at a franchise show in Florida, a couple franchisees of Fish Window Cleaning, and met them and just firsthand saw their passion and the success they're having and their whole story of how they went about finding a franchise system, working with a franchise consultant, them knowing exactly what they wanted to do and the type of hours they wanted to work and how
right.
well they've been doing. That's always very interesting to me. That's some of the highlights for myself, just all the different franchises we've had, some of the top people. We've had all different levels of franchising we've had covered in our first 100 shows.
Yeah, there were some great stories, you know, and those two stories that you mentioned, you know, fish window cleaning. I mean, it was just amazing how, you know, here's two guys working for, I think it was Enterprise Rent-A-Car, wasn't it? And,
right.
I mean, they got into franchising really as a means to an end. You know, they wanted to spend more time with their families, you know, and when they were working for Enterprise, I mean, they were putting in some pretty hefty hours. I think it was like 70 hours a week, you know, and again, they said, if we're going to work this hard, we should work for ourselves, you know, and now they got time to spend more time with their family, you know, go to their kids' baseball games and things like that, you know, and yeah, that was, and the Brian Spindell story, you know, of a Postnet, you know, again, starting in college, you know. We always typically ask, what were you doing before getting involved in the franchise, you know? And I remember I kind of chuckled when Brian chuckled when we asked him that question. He says, I was in college when we started this whole thing, and Postnet turned into a fantastic franchise opportunity, you know, for aspiring entrepreneurs. So, yeah, that was a great story. I guess we can't, you know, when we're talking about highlights, we have to mention Michael Gerber, you know. It's
right.
I was mentioning several weeks ago that when we first started the show, you know, someone asked me, if you could interview anybody, who would it be? Yeah, you know, I said Michael Gerber, and here we interviewed him twice since doing the show, you know, and it's just been an incredible experience. Watching the growth of Michael Gerber, you know, he, when we first had him on the show, he was talking about this concept called In the Dreaming Room, and while we had him on the show, he was also writing the book at the same time, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within. And then we had him on the show a year later. So just to see that success, and Michael is just such an inspirational story, because here he is, was 71 years old, and he's slowly approaching 72. And, you know, at that age, he's just starting. He's starting all over again, you know, and he's
right.
just got this energy and vigor for life, you know. And I said, God, I hope I'm like that at 70 years old, you know, that I could
right.
just start something new, and that was inspired from his mom, you know, so I just thought that was such a wonderful story. Last year, on this day, we had a legend in franchising on our show. I guess you remember George Native.
Right.
You know, and that was a wonderful show, wasn't it? I mean, just
yeah.
having someone like that, I mean, tremendous success, which is very, very inspirational. For me, you know, I mean, we've had a nice, you said this, diversity on the show. I mean, we've really had some of the biggest names in franchising. We've also had some very new concepts on the show as
right.
well. I mean, the ones
right.
that stand out for me, I guess, maybe for you, Miami Rice Pudding. I mean, it was just incredible.
Right.
I think we mentioned them a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, we keep bringing that up because you're hoping to get free pudding. But
I know. I'm hoping they they're listening, you know. But it's just incredible product. PB Loco was our very first show. We had Ken,
right.
Carrie, and Jodine on our show. And they were just wonderful guests. I've always been so inspired by their story, how they had this brainstorming session, and, you know, they came up with the concept of PB Loco. And just watching, you know, their success, I think it was like 6 months ago, they were on Donnie Deutsch's Big Idea, you know, and I'm
right.
always watching that show. To see, you know, people like that were on our show and then achieving all this success is really just is really
right.
incredible.
Yeah, I've liked having Edible Arrangements on, Massage Heights, Aaron
yeah.
Sales and Lease, Action. We had Action International on it, since changed their name to Action Coach. Of course,
right.
Baskin Robbins was a great show, and having Warren Gresius on, and you know, you mentioned Rita's. I mean, these are all, I mean, all of our shows, we can always take something from all of them. They're all nice, and, you know, each show has something
mm-hmm.
different to offer. But those are some of the, you know, some of the highlight shows.
Oh,
I really
yeah.
liked. And like going back to diversity of people we've had on. I mean, you look what we've had on. We've had CEOs, owners. We've done some financing shows. We've had on like four or five authors at least. We've had on franchisees,
mm-hmm.
franchisors, business coaches, and consultants and brokers. We had a show about even surveillance and a lot of retail
sure.
shops having their security surveillance system. We've had several attorneys on, and even a show about real estate, Javelin Solutions, the importance. And I guess that's, you know, something else I've learn the importance of things like a lease and having professionals be helping you during the whole process, looking at the franchise agreement and reviewing the UFOC initially, and you know, just the importance of of any investor or franchisee doing their due diligence, and you can never have enough time to do that. Even if you are behind in your overall time frame, it's so important to do your due diligence, not rush in to make a decision. But it's been interesting, all the different types of levels of franchising and guests that we've had on the show, Marty.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. You know, it's one thing that I learned, I think it was the same thing that you learned, Don, is just the importance of working with an expert, like you said. You know, I mean, someone like yourself, you know, who guides people in the financing end, you know, of buying a franchise, and the Ryan Cunningham from Javelin Solutions, the importance of finding a location. I mean, I can really make or break a franchise. For certain franchises, you know, again, your food franchises typically, you know, if it's a home-based business, you don't have to worry about that. But, you know, the location factor is really so important. In fact, it's the number two reason why a franchise could fail is because of a poor location. And,
right.
You know, what you and I think would be a good location, you know, you bring an expert in and they say, you know what, it's not. It's,
right.
You know, so it is so important to work with an expert location. We've had some incredible stories on franchise brokers, you know, and a lot of our guests or franchisees that have been on the show using franchise brokers, you know, I've been very impressed with the ones that we've had on the show. Again, they're not all great. You know, again, the ones that we've had on the show have been exceptional. You know, there have
right.
been some incredible franchise brokers on the show. So the importance of working with them. A franchise attorney is critical, isn't it? I mean, it's kind
right.
of a must.
Yeah.
I don't think you can go into buying a franchise without speaking to a franchise attorney. We've had, I think, some of the best franchise attorneys on our show. You know, Nancy Lenard has just been so informative. We had her on our show twice already. Kevin Hine, who's one of the top franchise attorneys in the country,
right.
he's been on our show. He's been incredible, you know. So, so the importance of working with an expert, that's one thing I learned, is you can't, I don't think you can do this alone. You know, I really think you need to team up with people to kind of help
right.
you.
Some
you're
of
not
these
good
contracts and yeah, I mean, you're right, Marty. Some of these contracts and agreements, I mean, they're intimidating. I mean,
absolutely.
You know, the FDD is about an inch thick. That's the first thing a franchise will give you when
mm-hmm.
you're first looking at their franchise system, and you know, you need an attorney to review that franchise agreement. Just anything along the whole process, a lease.
Right.
I've seen some leases, and I mean, just all kinds of language. And you know, something I learned, I didn't realize how much negotiation that you can do with a lease.
True.
That say you're in a mall type of situation.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there could
right.
be a hundred different retail stores. There's gonna be 100 different leases.
Oh, absolutely.
With the language, and so just very critical, because you're signing a long-term agreement. You got to make sure you get the right lease, and if it's a startup business, you got to try to have every single advantage, going your way, and keep the overhead low. And and as far as what else we've learned, I mean, I think a big thing is, I mean, really, there's no shortcuts in franchising.
Sure.
You're going to be working just as hard as a non-franchise business, maybe harder. You'll be working
especially
the same type of hours,
year.
A lot of hours. Just don't always think of it as a franchise. That, hey, I'll go in, I'll maybe work 40 hours a week until things get going, and then start looking at some other type of business, let it kind of run on its own. That's just not the case.
Right. No, I agree. It doesn't run on automated pilot. You know, it's,
right.
it's absolutely. You know, and
the
I know
advantage is once the advantage is you're gonna, you know, your path to profitability is gonna be faster. You always have that support and training, and it's just a much lower chance of failure. It's what's great about franchising. Something else interesting, Marty, was just how, you know, even your biggest name franchise companies are always evolving, always changing, sometimes changing
true.
Their logo, their identity, rebranding. That was kind of interesting, right, last couple of years?
It was very interesting, yeah, absolutely. You know, I mean, we've seen a lot of that with, like, franchises like Yum Brands, you know, and when they changed
right.
the Kentucky Fried Chicken logo, you know, the KFC logo, I should say, with the Colonel, you know, and just kind of modernizing the stores. I mean, there's been some very successful franchises that have been around a very long time, and they have to change. You know, and that means their franchisees have to be open to change, and they have to, and I learned this from Jim Rudolph of Rita's, to trust the franchise system. You know, you have to trust them, you have to respect them, don't fight them. You know, I mean, again, these guys have been through everything, You know, it even times like this, you know, where the economy is tough. Most franchises that have been around a long time, they've been through these times anyway, you know, and they know how to get through them. So you really have to trust the franchise system. That's why you're buying into a franchise. You know, I would say when you buy a franchise, you don't have to, I hate to say this, you don't have to think as hard. You know, if again, you do totally trust the system, you know, put that in the burden of the franchise, you know, I mean,
right.
Let them make the decisions because, again, they've been through it, and that's why you're buying into it anyway.
Exactly. That's why you're paying the franchise fee. You know, just concentrate on what they tell you to do,
mm-hmm.
and you'll be fine. There's a track record built up of success. What did Michael Gerber say when you're buying a franchise? It's like you're starting on third base. You've mentioned that on a couple shows in the past.
Yeah, I think that was actually I think it was George. George said that.
Oh, was it?
George
was
Native.
It? Okay.
George Native said that last year, and I thought it was an incredible quote that franchising gives you the ability to start on third base. You know, and I used that quote when I was in Chicago several weeks ago. And, you know, you saw people's eyes light up saying, wow, that's quite brilliant. You know, it's a good way to understand franchising, that your chances of getting home
right.
on third base are much higher than just starting on first base, you know. So it does. It makes a lot of sense. And that quote actually came on our show 1 year ago. You know, we've had a lot of original quotes come on Franchise Interviews. And, you know, when I was preparing for that presentation a couple weeks ago, Don, I was pleased at the information that I got from our show. I would say about 95% of the data I got from Franchise Interviews, you know, and that just made me very happy because, again, here I am, a professor. I use a lot of different sources for information, and I really found our show to be most informative, you know. So it's incredible. I was telling you the other day, it's on Tuesday, I got an email from Turkey, you know. I mean, we have listeners from all over the world. And this one gentleman commented on how funny you are. And I said, well, that's not the purpose of the show, but
right.
He didn't mention me, by the way. Yeah, he said, Mr. Johnson is funny. So,
you sent him back an email saying that you disagreed with him?
I didn't. No, I just said thanks. You know, it's just, but, you know, and it's just amazing to know that we have listeners right now, people all over the world listening to our show, you know, Vietnam
and
Australia.
And that's why we started this format. What was so interesting about internet radio,
right,
is that it's, you know, it is nationwide, it is international. You know, most people who listen to the show, you know, listen at a later time when they have their own time at night or multiple times. That's what's nice. All the shows get archived, and
it's wonderful.
We've got a library now of shows, and I think that's interesting. People all over, sending us emails, thanking us or mentioning something.
It is. It's a wonderful feeling. You know, we've had a big increase in our international audience over the last year. I think that's been one of the biggest changes. You know, it's been happy to see that. You know, I think we're at like maybe about 8% international audience. You know, so it's just, and again, that 8%.
My goal in the future is to at least have one person from each country make a comment that I'm funny.
There you go. Well, we might have to practice our Japanese or Chinese, right? Or you know, and do the show in another language someday, you know, or have it translated, you know, or at least transcribed into other languages as well, you know.
We're talking about that, staying on that theme. You know, we do have some goals of going international and, you know, a few other things. Like I mentioned before, we just really just started the process with this. So.
Yeah, we've just hit the tip of the iceberg, haven't we? I mean, again, so many doors have opened over the last, you know, 6 months of doing this. I mean, everything, you know, speaking engagements, writing a book. I mean, you know, just behind the scenes is really incredible at Franchise Interviews. You know, I think a lot of people think sometimes it's just a one-hour show, but, you know, even after we are done with the show, I mean, it's still going on, you know. I mean, it's just people constantly listening to the show. I mean, if I go into, you know, our data server, I can tell how many people are listening to the show. And it's just amazing how many people listen to it on a daily basis.
Right.
It's just it's a great feeling. And, again, because we've built up this library of 100 hours up to this point, and, you know, that would take you, you know, several days to listen to. You know, if you just sat from show one to show number 100. And I always say, you know what, you'll know more about franchising than anyone on the planet Earth if you were to do something like that.
Right.
It really is that informative. So I like the international days. We've gotten a lot of great PR, you know, over the last, a couple of years as well. You know, I mean, again, we've been written about in our favorite magazine, Franchise Times. That was a wonderful article. That was like a two-page spread,
you know.
And that was done, I think, within the first 6 months of us doing the show.
I think it was,
article.
Yeah.
Yeah, it was pretty early on, yeah.
It was, and it was just nice, you know, to have our picture in there, you know, and kind of talk about the, I gave a behind-the-scenes look at, you know, doing franchise interviews, you know, what's actually involved. There's a lot of variables involved. It's one of the things I love about internet radio, you know, playing music and all this other stuff, playing commercials and bringing the guest in, you know, and I pretty much, I guess I've got to assign that duty to franchise interviews, you know, doing a lot of the behind-the-scenes stuff. And it's been fun for me, you know. I mean, there's moments where it's a little stressful, you know, because I'm trying to concentrate on 10 different things at once while doing the show. You know,
and I've enjoyed the first segment, gathering information, news, you know, statistics, information, what's going on in the franchise industry, which is basically our first segment. You know,
mm-hmm.
I've enjoyed that, you know, that part of it, finding things which I feel are interesting, which, you know, people are going to want to hear about.
Oh, absolutely. There's a lot of data in that first segment, you know, and again, I've used a lot of it. You know, in writing articles and doing presentations and things like that, you know, it's really been incredible. Since doing the show over the last year, we launched something new to Franchise Interviews, Don, as well. This is Great Quotes in Franchising, which is our podcast, which is kind of like highlights from the show. And our listeners, as I was mentioning earlier, they're going to actually hear later on clips from some legends that we've had on the show. You know, I think we hear like five or six of them. Because if you don't have time to listen to a whole show, the whole hour, you know, then you can listen to the podcast, which is kind of like us filtering, saying, you know what, when George Native said that, franchising gives you the ability to start on third base. That's brilliant, you know. So let's put that in a great quote in franchising. And the gentleman from Liberty Tax, you know, he said, I'm not creative. I don't want to create anything. I just want to follow a system. And he achieved all this wonderful success by joining Liberty Tax franchise, you know, and so yeah, it's just been incredible.
When Don Johnson was quoted in the Pennsylvania Business Journal about forced entrepreneurship, that's brilliant, right?
There you go. Well, too bad. Well, yeah, and we have referenced that on the show several times. You know, and it definitely does deserve a podcast or being in great quotes in franchising. You know, and I mean, that was always amazing. You know, to see, you know, the Eastern Pennsylvania Business Journal is a very big journal out here where I live in Pennsylvania. You know, I mean, it's something that I read religiously every week, you know, and to see our company, two-page article written about us, you know, and talking about what trends are taking place in franchising. I mean, that's a big wow to me, you know. And I always remember that was a funny story when we were interviewed by the Eastern Pennsylvania Business Journal. And when I got the journal that day, and I'm looking at it, and I see the front page, and I see you quoted. I'm like, where the hell am I?
I was supposed to be in the article, but you mentioned just by name as being a co-host with you on the show, and she somehow found my number, called me up, and didn't really think much of it, but we talked for a little bit. The next thing I know it, I'm mainly featured in the article, and you were relegated to deep, you know, back in the newspaper. Sorry about that.
I said, where the hell am I? I said, I did a half-hour interview. You know? I guess you didn't like what I said.
Yeah,
it was amazing, you know, but it was a wonderful article that was written by Stacey Wesko, and she's a wonderful writer.
So if she calls me again in the future for an article, I'm going to tell her, I'm going to plead with her, please make sure Marty's on the cover.
Exactly. That took me a while to get over, you know, but it was a great article, and it was a great plug for franchise interviews as well, you know.
How about some of the other you know, funny moments from the show, just real quick? I think, you know, like we're doing any live radio show, just sometimes saying things, not knowing we're live,
mm-hmm.
you know, because obviously there's going to be some technical problems sometimes. I think maybe we had to, you know, the show cut off once or twice, and
a little bit
of panic mode sets in, and that was always kind of awkward. I think you've specialized sometimes in calling people by the wrong name. I think that.
Oh, and that's just a disaster. And it's funny because you and I have spoken about this. You know, if I do it once, I'll do it twice during the show, you know, because I just can't get over that, you know. It's just, and I feel terrible if you call someone by a different name, you know. And again, because I'm doing these behind-the-scenes things sometimes, you know, I have people calling in to our switchboard. I got people in the chat room asking questions, you know, so I'm doing sometimes like three or four things while doing the show, you know, and
how about one time, Marty, I forget who the guest was, but I think one person called from their their car in a closed garage, and I think it was a pretty good interview and show, but we found out later that was the case because I think they realized last minute.
It was funny, yeah.
Then we were hoping while doing the show that he didn't have the car on.
It was that was a funny moment. We found out later on, again, you go behind the scenes, and it's funny because when I listen, and I listen to the shows religiously, I know you don't listen to them as much as I do, but I'll always go back and listen to them sometimes two or three times because I just, I learned so much from the show. But yeah, again, when I'm listening to it, sometimes you're thinking about other things. You're saying, okay, well, what was going on at that moment, perhaps we were supposed to go to commercial break or just things like that. But that was a funny story. We did find that out later on, that nice gentleman. It was a great interview. Because he was in a different time zone, he had a call from home, because here we are starting the show at 10 o'clock Eastern time. Well, in California, it's 7 o'clock, so they're not going to be in the office at that moment. So, they call in from their home, and the dog's barking in the background. So he jumped into his car, and it was a great story. We've had a lot of those like that. And there's been a couple, I think there's been maybe one or two, I guess you had that misquote a couple weeks ago. I think you said we have, 9,900 hours of show tape?
Showtime, yeah.
Which went over my head, and
I was thinking the show was 100 minutes, but it's a 60 minute.
Exactly, right, so it was
hey, we're only
human,
absolutely. Yeah, by 4,000 hours, I exaggerated.
There you go, So I said, wow, that sounded so good at the time, it's, just one of those things. I remember the first time when we joined Blog Talk Radio, it was, what I love about Blog Talk Radio is we have more control over the show, as far as commercial breaks and things like that, but I remember our very first show, the woman comes on, with a promo for Blog Talk Radio, says Blog Talk Radio in like an English accent, and I think thought we got disconnected, and there was a big hello, so it just sounded perfect, at the time, it's just so funny, and yeah, it's just little things like that, just doing the show. It's just been an incredible experience, and
or even yourself, even finding the format to do internet radio. I didn't know much about it. We talked about doing a high-end franchise newsletter to the industry, and eventually you
which
found
turned
out about
into
internet
the
radio.
Show. Yeah, it was just amazing, and again, the ability to have listeners all over the world now is just. I mean, we could have done anything. We could have did satellite. We could have done traditional radio. But to me, and I think to you as well, internet radio just made so much more sense, I mean, to the ability to reach anywhere on the planet Earth, that was very
attractive. The education aspect of it, that all the shows get archived, people can, go back and listen to a show. Some of these, shows we did, people 2-3 years from now or beyond, go back and listen to the show. That practical advice is not going to change.
It's not, no, absolutely. I mean, again, you can go back to show number 2, show number 3, I mean, there's some great information on that show. I think you and I have gotten so much better at this craft, Again, it's sometimes, honestly, it's a painful experience for me to sometimes go back and listen to show number 1, show number 2. I think we've gotten so much better at it, now, after doing 100 shows, and just like that's like life in general, the more you do something, the better you get at it, and we keep, I think, mastering this craft of doing this show, and eventually the show's going to have to, Don, it's going to have to go to an hour and a half or 2 hours over time, because we have, it's getting very difficult to get on the show as well. It's hard for me. Because we get a lot of calls from people saying, I want to come on your show. I want to come on your show. We're booked, I think, until like March, up to this point. I know at one point we're booked like 4 months in advance. And it's hard to say no, to a lot of people, especially when you've had a pizza franchise and then 2 weeks later another pizza franchise wants to come on, And again, they might be different, but...
yeah, we're trying to show that diversity. We've had several consultants and business coaching franchises and a few others. They'll all be good shows, but we're trying to bring something new each month and doing our shows, and we're going to continue. Eventually, we'll have all 80 industries covered.
Oh, absolutely! Again, because we haven't done everything up to this point, that's for sure. And that's what I think makes it so exciting is there's just so much more to do. And as we're doing this show, there's still changes taking place in the world of franchising. It is incredible. I mean, again, since we started the show, we've had the big change to the UFOC. It's not called the UFOC anymore. It's called the FDD. So that's pretty interesting. And we had a whole show dedicated to that topic. And we spent a lot of time talking about, preparing. You just came back from the franchise show. on the West Coast and the importance of preparing, you know, when you're going to a show. So, yeah, it's been incredible. You know, I can really go on and on and on. This was we got a nice email yesterday from Joel Lababa, and I think Joel Lababa is really, we've had him on the show twice up to this point, and he wrote a great book. It's called The Essential Steps to Researching a Franchise Opportunity. He's the owner of Franchise Selection Specialist. Joel says this, it's great to see what a wonderful resource like Franchise Interviews continue on their own road to entrepreneurial success. Keep up your important work. You know, signed, Joel Lababa, president of Franchise Selection Specialist. And you can get more information from Joel. You can go to joellababa.com. And that's just great, you know, to get something like that from someone who's considered really, you know, I think one of the top experts in franchising. You know, I said, wow. You know, it's you know, again.
Yeah, just the friends and contacts we're making with the show, which is, you know.
Made a lot of friends, haven't we? You know, it's a different experience going to the shows now, I think, you know, for me anyway, you know, when I go to the franchise shows, to have people know you, you know, or,
right.
You were telling a funny story once, I think, with somebody actually recognized your voice, because you have a very distinct voice, I think, you know, more than myself, you know, so I think if someone were to speak to you, you know, they would say, wow, is that Don Johnson? You know, it's,
And a very distinct name, too.
There you go.
The voice, the name.
You got all these things going for you, you know. It's all these advantages, you know. So it's something.
Yeah, I like talking about my twins, and you've been starting the show. So you see, my twins get older, having your son born.
Absolutely. We've had, you know, our kids getting older, you know, and all these milestones that we typically talk about, like in the first 3 minutes of the show, you know, and.
Right. And have to be quick not to talk too much about it to bore people. We want people to.
Exactly. You don't want to do that too much. You know what I mean? So it's absolutely. So it's really been, I guess the theme it's been an incredible ride, you know, the first 2 years. And I think the next 2 years is even going to be more exciting. Again, we just hit the tip of the iceberg with this whole thing, you know. And again, when we first started, we said, is this a good idea or not? And I think we knew after 10 weeks of doing it, we said, yeah, I think we have something here. So.
Look forward to the next 100, that's for sure.
Yeah, absolutely. Here's a quick stat I wanted to give. I know you typically give the stats, but I just thought that this was important. The third quarter, this is from FranData, the third quarter new concept report, basically new concepts in franchising, identifies 118 new franchise brands, Don. So I think that's pretty significant. So the third part of the year, 118 new franchise concepts. And we've seen that. That's been a pretty common theme on the show as well, right? I mean, new concepts constantly.
And that's in a down economy, too.
That's true. You know, it's just amazing. So the past quarter, we discovered 15 new brands in the health and fitness industry. That's interesting. It says 9 brands offering business services, such as consulting, tax preparation, insurance, and 17 brands in QSR and sit-down restaurants. So in total, there's 118 brands from 73 different sectors. And I think right now we're up to about 3,000 franchise systems, about 80 different industries. It's just been incredible. So why don't we'll take a quick break here, Don. We'll go to a quick commercial break. And then when we come back, we can talk about some interesting articles that you and I found over the last week.
Good.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone, and welcome back to Franchise Interviews, where we're asking the franchisepreneur who owns one. I'm your host, Marty McDermott, with my co-host, Don Johnson. And if you've ever dreamed of owning your own business, then you've come to the right place. And we're celebrating our 100th show today in 2 years of doing franchise interviews. And I know you had some interesting articles, Don, that you wanted to kind of discuss.
Yeah, I want to continue. Last week we had this nice article, Wall Street Journal, by Julie Bennett. It's recession-resistant businesses succeed. Franchises with lower startup fees or with programs to help new franchisees find financing are more attractive than systems that require newcomers to find their own money. Mm-hmm. Just towards the end of this, it says, during a downturn, there's also greater demand for in-home medical and non-medical care for seniors, says Shelley Sun, who started Bright Star Healthcare in Gurnee, Illinois. And this is, you know, we've talked about this industry throughout the year. I thought it was interesting how, you know, we'll have it on this show.
Right.
So it says seniors who can't sell their houses and move to nursing homes or assisted living facilities must explore other alternatives, Ms. Sun says. Bright Star now has 75 franchisees who have invested between $108,000 and $180,000 to provide services that range from bathing seniors to providing 24-hour care. In 2006, Downsize Information Technology executive Jeffrey Tews and his wife Susan, the former manager of a hospital laboratory, became Bright Star franchisees for the Madison, Wisconsin area. They had their first client September 06. They now have 140 full and part-time employees and should do over $2 million in gross sales for this year. She says, we're not losing clients because of the recession, but some people are being a little more conservative about the hours they hire us for. Mr. Tu says he has replaced his corporate salary and gained even more. This work is so rewarding, he says. We're making a difference in people's lives. And, you know, that's important, too. You always think about mm-hmm. starting a business. Everyone's always thinking about money. Of course,
sure.
That's important. You want to be profitable. But another aspect of it, and what a lot of guests have said on the shows, is just, you know, what's important in life to you? That's maybe what a lot of franchise consultants discuss with their client when they're thinking about starting a franchise. And, you know, something like making a difference and helping
mm-hmm.
people, you know, those are keys besides just always,
right.
you know, worrying about the money aspect.
It sure is a feel-good franchise opportunity. Again, it's not for everybody, but I think for a lot of people, again, it goes beyond the money. You know, and we've had three senior care, non-medical senior care franchises on the show over the last 2 years, you know, and I was impressed with all
right.
of them. You know, I thought they all had something great to say, but, you know, looking at the numbers, I mean, this market, Don, is just exploding. I mean, I guess it's just one industry that I definitely encourage people to look at because,
right.
again, people are, you know, living longer, getting older, and that baby boomer market is just, you know, there's a lot
right.
of opportunity there. So, yeah, it's a great opportunity.
And just ending the article, Marty, it says the recession has even turned downsized banker Tyler McCarty of Denver into a superhero. Mr. McCarty is the 27th franchisee to join Worth Business Credit, Golden Valley, Minnesota, says Steve Murphy, president of franchising for Worth's parent company, the Windmark Corp. Franchisees whose required investments between $40,000 to $75,000 sell equipment leases to other business owners. The equipment acts as the collateral. Mr. McCarty says his first deal is with a 25-year-old man who was handcrafting bar displays for premium brands of liquor. He wanted a CNC router, a tool that cuts designs into wood automatically, says Mr. McCarty, but no bank would lend him the money. When I arranged for him to lease one, I just felt like a Superman. So, yes, he's found a niche service, and hopefully he'll be successful. But
right, right.
Definitely an interesting article. And, Marty, also in the top 200 franchise systems, this is the 2008 Franchise Times, just put out this information, this article written by Jonathan Mays, to get a sense of how the U.S. economy performed last year, don't look at the Franchise Times 200 as a whole, even though its sales kept pace with overall economic trends. Instead, look at for the individual companies and the sectors in which they operate. And those numbers are a handful of key insights, some of which you might expect. The housing market hammered real estate companies, and high gas prices buoyed convenience store sales. A few others may come as a surprise. Hotels performed well. Casual dining chains not only kept their places on the list, they remarkably added to their number, despite analysts' near-universal views that the sector is in the doldrums. So that was pretty interesting. The list also says that the biggest of the biggest U.S. franchises
right.
continue to flex their muscles. The top 20 remain mostly intact from a year ago, and the two largest franchisers even put more distance between them and the rest of the pack. Of course, McDonald's remains firmly at the top. Its system-wide sales increased 12%. after a year in which it could seemingly do no wrong. And number two is 7-Eleven. It's managed to reduce the distance between it and the top spot by increasing its worldwide sales by an astonishing 27%. It's amazing. Even in down economy, certain companies do well.
That's incredible.
But
I was
companies
surprised.
Are international. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, were you surprised to see that with 7-Eleven? Or, I mean, again, it's just something, it's a
right.
you know, convenience store that we grew up with, you know, and it was just amazing.
Right.
And I know some sources have actually reported them as being number one. You know, so again, number one, number two, I guess it doesn't make much of a difference. You know, it's
right.
bottom line is they're doing very, very well. So it's incredible.
It says Circle K, along with 7-Eleven and another chain, AMPM, I guess they're part of the BP oil system, all demonstrated the strong sales growth in the convenience store sector. Led in part by high gas prices, the nation's gas stations saw sales increase 6%, according to federal numbers, though the stores themselves note that increased gas sales don't usually result in bigger profits. AMPM continued its solid showing, jumping up 10 spots from 39 to 29. But the top 10 after McDonald's and 7-Eleven are KFC, part of Yum Brands, of course, then Burger King, Ace Hardware, Subway at number 6, Pizza Hut, then Circle K, Wendy's at number 9, the Marriott Hotel chain are the top 10. Then you have Hilton, Coldwell Banker, Blockbuster, Holiday Inn, Taco Bell, also part of Yum Brands, and then Sheridan at 16. You have Tim Hortons, a coffee franchise. Then you have Domino's Pizza, Dunkin' Donuts at 19, and then Applebee's at 20.
That's incredible.
And this is a top 200 list. Other notable: Denny's came in at 40, Aaron Sales and Lease 49, the General Nutrition Centers or GNC at 53.
Mm-hmm.
We had Midas at 67, Baskin Robbins at 70, Church's Chicken at 75, and then. Restaurant chain. I know you're a big fan of that, Marty. Always going. That came in at 79.
You gave me trouble with my wife, right? Well, it's funny. I think we didn't. We go to Hooters when we went to Washington. I think we went there. Everyone went there together, you know. So
yeah,
but
yeah,
it's just amazing.
More personalized here. Yeah,
there you go.
1-800 Flowers. We had Great Clips, the haircutting franchise at 89. CC's Pizza 106. Papa
wow.
Murphy's at 117. And Econo Lodge at 121, Sylvan Learning at 125, Fantastic Sam's we've had on the show at 133, Valpak, who's going to be coming on the show in a couple of weeks, they're 137, we had Jimmy John's, one of the fastest growing sandwich shops at 142,
right.
The Athlete's Foot, part of the Nexen Brands, 145, we had Allegra Network, also they have signs now, been working with them for years, they're at 148, Fast Signs at 158, we had Auntie Anne's Pretzels at 162, Johnny Rockets at 172, Blimpy Subs and Salad. I had to throw in them in there. I go to them a lot locally where I live.
Right, right. That's no,
we had
absolutely.
Postnet, who we had on the show at 185. We have Huddle House at 190, The Melting Pot at 196, 200's Cruise Holidays. And they mention here top 25 by total number of units. 7-Eleven actually has more total units than McDonald's. And then Subway is at 3, H&R Block, KFC, Janny King, Burger King, Pizza Hut, Curves, and Coverall Cleaning Concepts. Domino's at number 11. These are franchises by total number of units. The other first list was by total sales. And then they listed, Marty, some up-and-coming franchises from 201 to 217. You have Beef O'Brady's, Two Men in a Truck, Martinizing, Dry Cleaning, Edible Arrangements, Batteries Plus, Serta Pro Painters, Precision Tune Auto Care, Firehouse Subs, Americ Inn, list here, Brugger's, Five Guys Burger and Fries, Hot Stuff Foods, Taco Time, Cruise One, Granite Transformations, Postal Annex Plus, my friends over there at 216, and Huntington Learning Centers at 217. So these are companies on the cusp, on the verge of breaking the top 200.
That's incredible.
So,
and it's amazing as you're going on the list, you know, again, a lot of these franchises have actually been on the show, you know. So, as you're reading the list on it, think about how difficult it must be to compile this information, you know, who gets the number one
right.
slot, who gets number two. You know, there's a whole mathematical formula for coming
right.
up with this, but it's a lot of work. And I like the Franchise Times 200 because it's always a little different from Entrepreneur's Top 500, you know, so... You kind of do like a comparison between both. And again, I think it's great to be in the top 10 or 20 or 200. it doesn't always mean that it's the best concept for an individual. You know, again, it really
depends. It's a good point.
Yeah, it's a
very good point. There's several thousand franchises, and you know that's up to the investor, potential franchisee, to decide. Some concepts are newer, but you might have more growth because you can buy a larger area of that franchise. Or maybe a franchise was popular in another country, now they're coming to the U.S. and you might be in first position to invest in that franchise. So that's always
Absolutely.
What you got to weigh. Go with the more stronger, solid name where you can come in and you know everybody knows that franchise name, but you might have a little less limited growth.
Right.
This is where a consultant comes in, or really have to do your due diligence, or do you go with a newer concept, not as established, but there's much more growth. You like being kind of a trendsetter in your area to kind of go with a new type of service or franchise system.
Yeah, no, absolutely. So, but it is. It's very important, though. Again, I always look forward to the top 200 or top 500, you know, and see who's on the list. But again, it doesn't always mean that, you know, just because 7-Eleven is number one, that that's the franchise you should get into. There's a lot more variables than that. So.
And you know, talking about the list, how does a brand qualify for the franchise times 200? Franchise brand must meet certain qualifications. A minimum of 20% of the company's total units must be operated by franchisees. The brand must be headquartered in the U.S. and have a significant U.S. presence. What are system-wide sales? Consist of total 2,000 sales of the brand from both company and franchisee-operated stores. For example, the system-wide sales of McDonald's include sales from all the restaurants in the entire system, both company and franchise. That's something to keep in mind, too.
Interesting. That's something. Well, I think what we're going to do now, Don, is we're going to go into, we've had a lot of highlights from the show over the last 2 years. The highlights that you're going to get to hear today are kind of current. I mean, these are from our Great Quotes in Franchising podcast. Listeners are now going to get to hear from Jim Rudolph, CEO of Ritas. Franchise Opportunity, the legendary Michael Gerber, Warren Gresius, who is one of the top motivational speakers in the world, John Hewitt, who is the founder of Jackson Hewitt and now Liberty Tax Franchise Opportunity. You're going to hear a clip from George Natiff, Kevin Hind, who's one of the top franchise attorneys in the country, and Gary Okigrasso of the Desert Moon Franchise Opportunity. He has some great words of wisdom for our listeners looking to buy a franchise. He used this great analogy, so he made the clip as well. So, and again, there's so many more. You know, again, we can't play all of them, of course, but again, this is a segment that you're definitely not going to miss. So, I think what we'll do here, Don, is we'll go into that part and. I'll see you again in a couple weeks, right, with another edition of Franchise Interviews.
Definitely, Marty. Have a good holiday next week. Look forward to the next couple of years working with you.
You got it, Don. Good job.
Take care.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. 2919.
For our partners, what is it that we're looking for? So separate from the commitment and the passion and the integrity and wanting to work hard, you need to do something else for that franchisor. And so whether it's Rita's or, you know, I heard you talk about the other concepts that you have coming on, you need to do three things with that franchisor because the franchisor does it with you. It's about trusting that franchisor, respecting the franchisor, and believing in the franchisor. Trust, respect, and believe. Because if you're going to become a franchisee, as my father used to say, you know, we pay this fee and we pay a royalty of every dollar. It's our responsibility to be able to believe in these guys and respect them and trust them. And it's difficult over the years, 20 years with Wendy's, 19 years. I'll be very honest. There were many ups and there were many downs. But there was never a point that we never believed in the concept and we didn't respect the guys. That was very important. So what I try and express and preach to our partners, because we do it internally and I want them to feel the same, is to trust us, believe in us, and respect us. And if you do that, then we're going to be successful together. Because if you go back to the beginning, it's why you bought the concept. And not everybody should be a franchisee. But if you take that route and you make the commitment of a franchisee, then do as the company suggests and recommends. Because go back to why you made the decision to become a franchisee. And the headline, to trust them, respect them, and believe in them. Because they do with you.
And I think you're not going to have a problem getting that with future franchisees and, of course, your stores now because of your so many years as being a franchisee. You're thinking just like them. You know what they want, think, and everything. So,
I agree.
Yeah.
I wish, I got to be honest, I wish it was that simple. It isn't. Can I mention something else that I've really been working on, talking about, articulating a lot? And we branded it the 5 C's, which I think is important, not that I think, I believe is important for this concept to be successful and to have many, many more years. We're celebrating, which is pretty historical. We're celebrating our 25th anniversary next year, which is, I remember I was with Wendy's when they did their 25th. It's a big deal. There's very few that celebrate 25 years. But anyway, we branded it as the 5 C's, and I won't go through them, but I'll just quickly give you the words. The first one is the commitment to the RITA system. And they're all self-explanatory, but that's number one.
Right.
Number two is the consistency. And I really drive that from the consistency from the store operations first, but that everything that we do as a franchisor and a franchisee, we need to be consistent. Because we all of us, everybody wants to do the right thing, and we all want to be good. And if we have this concept of being consistent and doing it every day, we got a better chance. The third is communication. And to me, we never get, as I say, I'm not an expert, we are constantly thinking about how to improve the communication. It is our lifeblood. It's our conduit. This is a partnership. And communication is the key to any relationship, husband and wife, sibling, whatever. It's communication. Four is the R&D, research and development. I can go through the product that we introduced this year. We introduced one last year, and we're going to introduce more next year, is because we as customers, guests, want to have more of a variety of products. And then the last one, and probably the most important, and this is a major one, and I call it embracing change. Because the world is changing quick, but it's more than change. We need, as individuals, to embrace it. We need to embrace it and be a part of it and be in support of it, because change is difficult. I guess I've gone through it. I have many experiences of being difficult with change. I'm at the opposite extreme. I look for change. I want change. I promote change. Because if we're not changing, then we're going to be left behind. This world, the business world, the franchise world, the guests are changing so fast, we need to be changing with them. And it's so difficult to be embracing it. So,
I think that's, great points, Jim. But change is part of life. And, even some of your, both well-known concepts, the McDonald's and so forth, always have to be going through changes and adapting and so forth. So that's a good point to have that attitude. You're like the professor, Jim. I'm here, writing frantically, taking notes. you're doing a great job here.
Thank you. I that's not my intent, but thank you. I appreciate that.
Talk a little about, Jim, just about the history of meetings. People love...
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. For each podcast, you get to hear a great quote in franchising. Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews. This week is going to be 2 years and 100 shows, and during that time frame, we've had some incredible guests and quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from, I think, one of the best motivational speakers in the world, Mr. Warren Gresius, and Warren talks about the importance of planning ahead and insurance. And for our very first time on our partnership with Blog Talk Radio, Franchise Interviews is now giving franchisors the opportunity to sponsor some upcoming radio shows. So once again, Mr. Warren Gresius, after a word from our sponsor, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Insurance and things like that?
Yeah, one of the areas you address when talking about entrepreneurship is the importance of disability insurance, health savings accounts, and health insurance. I know my father-in-law was in the, had his own insurance business in New York City, and he always talked about the importance of disability insurance. So maybe talk about those couple things a little bit for entrepreneurship.
Absolutely. You know, the thing about disability insurance, a couple of things about it. First, it's a must. It must if you're going to own your own business. Remember, one of the big problems with owning your own business as opposed to working for a company is that you don't have a safety net. You know, when you work for somebody else, especially when you work for a large company, they're going to supply you with health insurance. They're going to supply you with disability policy. They're also probably going to supply you with a small life insurance policy. But the second you leave that company, all that stuff is gone. And you're really going to need that disability insurance. And God forbid something happens to you and you're unable to work. Essentially, you're out of business. Well, disability insurance is going to give you an income. Now, remember something about disability insurance. Here's the important thing to remember. You cannot get disability insurance if you do not already have an income. And if you're first starting your own business, you're not going to have an income. So what I did was I knew I was going to go into my own business. So while I was working for somebody else and was making an income, I started buying disability insurance.
Right.
And
smart,
so
yeah.
While you're working, you must, you know, the whole thing about starting a business, if you're not planning ahead before you get into that business, don't go into business. You know, that's why I saved my money. That's why I bought disability insurance. I had disability insurance when I went into business because I knew once I started for the first few years, I wasn't going to be able to buy any more because I didn't have an income. I wasn't paying myself.
Right.
Now, so when you're working, buy as much as you, if you know you're going to go into your own business, if you have any desire or plans to do it, buy as much as you can. You know, insurance companies will only give you as much as your income allows. You know, you can't buy as much as you want. They judge it according to the amount of income you have coming in. Now, once my speaking business started to take off, and every time my income rose, I bought more disability insurance.
Right.
I got a ton of disability insurance. God forbid anything ever happens to me, I've got a nice income coming in every single month. Now, once I hit 65, I'm not going to need it anymore. And they're not going to give it to me anymore either. The other thing about health savings accounts, you know, as a small business owner, you're going to get really destroyed by health insurance. The premiums are monstrous. The
right.
costs are ridiculous. But you got to have it. You can't afford to get sick. And you can't afford to let hospital and doctor bills put you out of business.
Right.
For years, I had health accounts, health insurance that were killing me. But, you know, when the health savings accounts came out, I realized, and I went to somebody, you know, I always had a good insurance agent. That's another thing. You know, there's a lot of things you should skimp on as a small business owner. Watch your pennies. Watch your overhead. You know, things like long-distance telephones, you know, cell phone plan, you know, all that sort of stuff. You know, overhead, watch it. But the one thing you don't want to skimp on is expert advice.
Right.
You got to have a good lawyer, a good accountant, and a good insurance agent. You know, those people, don't worry about paying them. You know, if you're going to, don't look to skimp on an accountant, a lawyer, or an insurance agent, because you're going to end up with a crummy one. And a crummy one is going to cost you more than what you're paying out. So get good people. I have a great agent, and he advised me on the health savings account, found me someone to work with, and now I have a health savings account for my business. You know, it's a low premium, high deductible plan with great tax deductibility in it. It's the greatest tool for a very small business. and I'm a big believer in that. You should also have life insurance. You know, when you're in your own business, you want to protect your family, you need life insurance. But I cannot emphasize enough planning ahead and buying disability while you're still working and making a good income before you start your business, because then at least you're giving yourself some sort of safety net. Don't allow catastrophic things beyond your control to put you out of business.
Right. Such an important point you bring up, especially something like disability insurance. No one's going to think of that. You know, no one thinks of themselves as getting sick. Everyone's trying to stay positive, starting a new business. But you got to set yourself up across the board starting a business, just not things like this, putting together a business plan and calculating how long you can go you know, before you make a salary. And
I'll tell you something. You're more likely to get hurt than you are to die.
Right.
So disability insurance is very important.
Absolutely. Yeah, that's what my father-in-law told me. It's just as important, if not more, than having life insurance.
Absolutely, and I have both. I spend a lot of overhead every year on insurance. Life insurance, disability insurance, long-term care.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising. For each podcast, you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now for almost 2 years, with 100 shows under our belt, and during that time frame, we've had some incredible quotes from the guests that have been on our show. If you're a frequent listener to our weekly radio show, then you know what fans Don and I are of the great Michael Gerber, author of the very successful E-Myth Revisited and Awakening the Entrepreneur Within. What's even more amazing is how often Michael's name has come up from our guests in the past 2 years. So you're going to hear from the great Michael Gerber in just a moment. And for the first time on Blog Talk Radio, Franchise Interviews is giving franchisors a unique opportunity to sponsor our weekly radio show. You can have a professionally recorded commercial run on our live as well as archive shows. And here's a quick message from our sponsor, and then again, the great Michael Gerber. Enjoy.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919. 2919.
That's a great story.
Which, by the way, I'm now reading again for the second time. I recommend everybody out there, it's been a while since they've read the E-Myth, to read it again. It's really a great little refresher, because people seem to forget about things over time, Michael.
I've got guys, I swear, Don, who tell me they pull out the E-Myth Revisited every year. One gentleman I spoke to, the founder of an extraordinary company, 1-800-GOT-JUNK, who's a franchisor,
right.
He credits the E-Myth with the creation of his company, and he credits the E-Myth with the continued vitalization of his company and the growth of his company. They now have a few more than 300 franchisees around the world. The guy is less than 40. He's the CEO of this company. He started by driving a truck, picking up junk, read the book, read the E-Myth Revisited, and suddenly saw the light. And the product of that is a company which last year did $147 million in gross revenue and has the expectation of reaching $1 billion in revenue in the next 8 years. So the man's on path, and he takes the E-Myth out every year and reads it again and insists that every one of his management team reads the book. And in fact, I'm the keynote at his annual event in March. So I'll be in Vancouver addressing 1-800-GOT-JUNK.
Right, right. The show we had last week, Michael, with the CEO and president of a franchise opportunity called Desert Moon, Gary Occhi-Grasso, he spoke about you for like 10 minutes during the show. I mean, it's just amazing the impact that you've had in the franchise community. I mean, your name comes up every other show.
Thank you. And you know, I don't know 90% of these people, so I hear
this
guy says and this guy says and that guy. It's really quite extraordinary to me because I don't know these people.
Exactly. I can't imagine, you know, what kind of fuel you have. I mean, I don't know how you go to bed at night, Michael. I mean, changing the story you told about, you know, the young gentleman, you know, being depressed and stuff like that. I mean, the kind of fuel that you must get from that kind of situation must be incredible for you.
It is. It's absolutely extraordinary. And life is simply an array of infinite options. And they're continually showing up. They're constantly showing up. I can't imagine how anybody could feel limited or deprived of opportunity when there is so much more opportunity than any single one of us could possibly deal with. And I see it every single day in my mind. There's one, there's one, there's one. Why doesn't anybody do that? Why doesn't anybody do that? It's extraordinary when you begin to experience the entrepreneur within, and anybody, any single person on the face of this earth can experience it if they begin the process right. And that's what I'm committed to.
Absolutely. And the title is great, too, Michael. You know, how you added, in addition to how ordinary people create extraordinary companies without any experience to guide them. You were one of those people. I think you referenced Bill Gates, Steve Jobs, Michael Dell. I mean, all these guys really didn't have this significant experience in business. It was all based on a dream or their imagination.
Exactly. They had no experience in business. Bill Gates wasn't a business guy.
Right.
Bill Gates didn't work for a living. Bill Gates went to Harvard and then dropped out. Michael Dell didn't have any experience when he started his business. Nobody, no great entrepreneur, has necessarily had any business experience at all. They simply imagined a result that they saw was absolutely needed in the world, and then they invented the answer to that problem in a business. Well, anybody can do that.
Right.
And in the book, Awakening the Entrepreneur Within, I take you step by step by step through the golden process through which any company can be started from scratch in your garage. And I'm essentially saying, if your car is parked in your garage, move it out and start a business.
Exactly, absolutely.
See, this book of top entrepreneurs are never satisfied. I mean, in chapter 3 of your book, I thought it was great. You talk about you woke up one day and you had nothing to do. Personally, I mean, that's my dream, to wake up one day and have nothing to do, but just for a day before I get back to business. But, you know, of course, yourself being a top entrepreneur, you just weren't satisfied with that. You know, you had to, you know, take that next step and, you know, and do something great again, and that's what you did, obviously, with this book.
Yeah, well, and you got to understand, when I say I had nothing to do, I had everything to do, but I didn't have to do it.
Right.
In other words, I didn't have to go out and earn a living anymore.
True.
But I do. I didn't have to go out and speak anymore, but I do continuously. I didn't have to go out and write another book. My books are among the top 5 business books ever published in the world. E-Myth Revisited sells more books every year than it sold before.
Wow.
It's the most extraordinary phenomenon. So I didn't have to do anything. There's nothing that caused me to go out and create the Dreaming Room other than my fertile imagination. And I'm simply saying, what an extraordinary place to live in the imagination. Because one can begin to imagine a world unlike the world we live in and then take it upon yourself to invent it. And that's all it is, inventing it. Everybody invents every single day of their life. The problem is most of us invent the past.
Mm-hmm. True.
I'm about inventing the future.
Right. And this book precedes the E-Myth, Michael, so I guess everybody who has read the E-Myth is going to have to read Awakening the Entrepreneur Within as well.
Your lips to God's ears.
There you go. Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast you get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now almost 2 years, and almost have done 100 shows up to this point. And during that time frame, we've had some fantastic quotes on our show. Today, you're going to get to hear from one of the top franchise attorneys in the country, Kevin Hine. And Kevin's going to talk to you about the hallmark of franchising. Our podcast today is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews, LLC. And Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys. And our monthly franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And here we go with Kevin Hine.
The thing that people need to focus on is whether or not they can easily replicate their system. The more difficult, the more detailed the operation is, the harder it is to replicate. So, for example, take the food industry. You see lots and lots of franchise companies in the quick service restaurant segment, in the fast casual segment, but you see very few successful franchise companies in the fine dining or the white tablecloth segment.
Sure.
And the reason is that it's very difficult to teach other people to execute at that level. When you've got people coming in at a very high price point, they don't want just food, they want a good experience, and that requires a certain level of skill and expertise, and it's very hard to replicate that across restaurants, even in a single city, much less across the country. So you want to make sure that you have something that's pretty easy to replicate and that you can train people on, because frankly, you want people to, you want your franchisees to come in and be able to duplicate what you've done, or you're not going to build a very successful franchise system.
Right. I mean, that's one of the biggest reasons people invest in a franchise, of course, the money aspect, but because of this, the simplicity, hopefully, that the franchisor puts together. So this is a big part of you know, what you're talking about here, Kevin.
Absolutely. And the hallmark of franchising, and I know that some people can be critical of this, but the hallmark of franchising is that you give people the same experience no matter what market they're in.
Exactly.
You know, and we all know that if we stop in a McDonald's, whether we're in Portland, Oregon, or Portland, Maine, that hamburger is going to be the same.
Right.
And it's the same experience, and people come to rely on that and count on that experience, and that's why franchising has been so successful in so many industries.
Absolutely.
You know, and the last thing I always tell people is that you better have a unique marketing proposition. If you're going to try and franchise something and it's already been done, then you're at a real disadvantage. If you're just going to roll out the next hamburger chain franchise and there's nothing unique about what you do, then people are not going to be interested in buying into your system. They want to know, how do I compete with McDonald's, not how do I stand out there as a me too in comparison to McDonald's. So whether it's a new way of providing the service, whether it's a new way of collecting money, whether it's a new gimmick in terms of getting people in the door. I think of Pizza Patron, for example, the pizza chain out of Texas that serves predominantly the Latino market that recently started to accept pesos.
Right.
And I mean, that's a great marketing proposition. It's a way to say, look, yeah, we sell pizza, but boy, is this ever, you know, a unique way to get people in the door, people who have different currencies and who have different issues. You know, we're gonna service that market. That's something unique. And that's what makes, that's one of the things that makes that chain particularly unique, and therefore is able to attract people to become prospective franchisees.
Yeah, that pizza chain got a lot of PR too, Kevin, from that whole thing. You know, by doing something different, you know, it was they were pretty much in every national newspaper across the United States.
And right. Well, you know, there's the old saying that, you know, good PR or bad PR is the same. It's going to drive people in the door.
Right. And wasn't that your idea, Kevin, that accepting pesos?
That, I would love to say that was my idea, but I'm not
quite
that creative.
You know, you brought up a good point about the uniqueness here. I mean, I don't know if you listened earlier, but last week we interviewed Badass Coffee, and, you know, there's a lot of different coffee franchises, but they stand out because they're quality coffee. They have the Hawaiian theme.
Right.
The whole story behind it, it was why they're having success, Kevin, is this point you're bringing up about the unique marketing, you know, proposition.
Right, that's what I thought of, Don, as Kevin was explaining this. I thought of the same thing, Badass Coffee.
Yeah.
Well, and I think that's a great example. There's lots of
coffee purveyors out there.
Right.
What's the hook? What's the hook to get people to buy the franchise? And more importantly, what's the hook to get new customers in the door?
Exactly.
Right.
Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care. Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, Reese podcast. You get to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now for almost 2 years, and in that time frame, we've had some fantastic quotes on the topic of franchising. Today, you're going to get to hear from Gary Okigrasso of the Desert Moon Fresh Mexican Grill franchise concept. And Gary answers the question, what is the best franchise? It's a common question that Don, myself, and Gary have received over the last decade, and I thought Gary's response was fantastic. He also talks about the three-legged stool of a successful franchise. His answer was brilliant. Today's podcast is being brought to you by Franchise Interviews, LLC, and Franchise Interviews gives you an up-close and behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews as well as get inside tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising. Our weekly franchise radio show on Blog Talk Radio, where each week you get to hear interviews with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, franchise experts, and franchise attorneys, and our franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise. And here we go with Gary Okigrasso of the Desert Moon Franchise Concept.
Running the business as long as I have the passion and the work ethic, really.
And, you know, that's a great point. I do several seminars a year on the topic of franchising, and I'll tell you, I don't think that there isn't a meeting that goes by that someone in the audience doesn't raise their hand and ask me what I think, quote, the best franchise is.
I get that all the time. You know, myself, Gary, being in financing, people always ask me.
Same here. Yeah, and, you know, first of all, ultimately, that's a money question, and I'm one of those folks who believe if you chase money, you won't get any. You know, my response over the years has always been the same. It's not about, quote, the best franchise. It's about, really, what is the best franchise for you? What's
right.
your passion? What do you love to do? What are you good at? Because, again, you know, quoting Michael Gerber, once you get past that infancy stage where you are the technician, or we say in our business, the chief cook and bottle wash, you then need to expand your business by getting started on the work of an entrepreneur and bringing the technicians and the managers in to work with you on your business. So to simply ask what's the best franchise is to simply say what's the best automobile. I guess the issue is what's the criterion? What are you looking for? What are you good at? What's your background? And most importantly, what are you passionate about? If you're not passionate about building a business, then chances are you'll get exactly what you may be passionate or not passionate about. And in the case of a lack of passion, that would be nothing.
When people ask that to me, Gary, I say there's thousands of franchises. How the heck do I know?
There you go.
Absolutely, absolutely. It's a very, for experienced franchisees, and I think you alluded earlier in the top of the show regarding some of the work that my friend Dan Rowe at Fransmart is doing. You know, there are experienced franchisees, certainly the type that Desert Moon is seeking, who have background in the food industry, who understand the business model of franchising, have an organization, and they take a system like Desert Moon Fresh Mexican Grill, and they plug it into their already existing system. And that's one type of franchisee. And then you have another type of franchisee who is the first-time business owner, the entrepreneur, the person who is dreaming of operating their own business and developing a business, whose approach is extremely different. Their approach is much more from a technical aspect, much more local in the beginning. Many of them work, you know, 70, 80, 90, 100 hours a week. Essentially, they buy themselves a job. And I don't mean that in a negative way, because in the beginning, for the first-time business owner, if they're involved in a business that they're unfamiliar with, that's a great way to learn the business, and then they develop from there. So there are different types of franchisees, as well as different types of franchise companies and business models. So I'm convinced there's a good fit for everyone and anyone out there who wants to pursue the use of franchising as a development tool for themselves, either as a franchisee or a small business owner that wants to duplicate their business but doesn't want to open up a bunch of company stores. They want to use franchising as a tool. There are plenty of opportunities out there.
It sounds like Desert Moon will go in either direction in getting a new franchisee, either that already existing business owner experience or the first-time owner, right?
Absolutely. We obviously are cautious about who we bring in as franchisees. If you look at the what I refer to as the three-legged stool of a successful franchise operation, the three legs are the concept, the operator, and the location. The first piece, the concept, I'm confident regarding Desert Moon Fresh Mexican Grill because we're a 16, 17-year-old company with a long operating history of success.
Right.
Location is something that is always up for grabs with potential franchisees because it's elusive in the sense that you need to understand what makes your operation work. So locations look different to different types of operations. But the other piece, the operator, who is the franchisee, that's key. Even in a great location with a great concept, the wrong franchisee could fail. Because the franchisee is the pulse, is the heart of the business. The concept may be the brain. The location may be the legs, if you will, how it stands. But the franchisee is the heart of the business. And what the franchisee takes to the business really will set the tone.
That's
so we're very careful about franchisees, whether they're experienced or first-time business owners.
That's interesting. What do you look for in a... Thanks, everyone, for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another edition of Great Quotes in Franchising, brought to you by Franchise Interviews. Take care.
Franchise Interviews. For over 2 years now, Franchise Interviews has been giving you an up-close, behind-the-scenes look at franchising and entrepreneurship.
Through our website, franchiseinterviews.com, where you can hear and read interviews, as well as get tips from some of the most successful sources in franchising.
And our weekly franchise radio show, where each week you get to hear a new interview with franchisors, franchisees, franchise authors, experts, and attorneys.
And our free franchise newsletter, which is a must-read for anyone looking to buy a franchise.
And don't forget to listen to our podcast, Great Quotes in Franchising. For more information, go to franchiseinterviews.com or call us at 610-905-2919.
That's 610-905-2919.
Hi, everyone. This is Marty McDermott from Franchise Interviews, and welcome to Great Quotes in Franchising, where each podcast gets to hear a great quote in franchising. You know, Don and I have been hosting Franchise Interviews now for the last year and a half, and in that time, we've done about 80 shows. We've interviewed some of the top franchisors, franchisees, franchise experts in the country, and it's just been an incredible experience. Each show, you know, Don and I have learned something, you know, and there's usually typically two or three learning lessons from each radio program. The podcast that you're going to get to hear today, or the Great Quote in Franchising, is from Dan Castellini, and you're also going to get to hear from John Hewitt, who is also the founder of Liberty Tax Service, and, you know, he talks about his most successful franchisees. But listen to what Dan says as far as, you know, taking a self-assessment and typically the people who become the most successful franchisees. I really thought it was a great learning lesson. So here we go.
And they send a picture in, we don't even know about it. And next thing we see our picture, a Lady Liberty featured in the USA Today or somewhere in the country where we didn't even do anything except do our jobs and put our Lady Liberties out.
That's great. Now, the Lady Liberty, was that your idea, John, or was that yours, Dan?
You know, I asked Dan, and remember, I already said he's one of the best 10 or 20 ever in out of 3,000. So I built him up, and this is not a slam to Dan at all, but I often ask my top people just to make other people understand. They said, Dan, what did you create? What did you invent? When you've been here four seasons. What did you do different? And he said, really, the top people say, you know what? I followed the plan, and I think Dan can confirm that.
That's the best franchisee, John. That's what Marty and I speak about a lot. A lot of our experts we've had on, trying to recruit people don't want to reinvent the wheel. Just follow the system and work hard and have that passion. In most franchise, you got to be people, you know, a people person, and you know you're gonna be successful. At the bottom line.
Absolutely. Dan's comment. What's that? How do you feel about that?
No, absolutely. You know, I think that. Went back when I was looking, you know, deciding if franchising was right for me. You know, that's the first thing I determined was, you know what, I don't want to invent anything. I'm not creative. Just give me a plan that I can execute. Of course, then you go in search of that plan, and that's exactly what Liberty has. And to succeed, you know, you guys hit the nail on the head. It's simply, you know, have that personal drive and then the ability to listen and execute the plan that you signed up to follow.
Right. Getting solid training.
I love that quote from Dan Castellini, how he says, you know, he took a real honest self-assessment. He says, you know what, I'm not a creative person. I don't want to invent anything. And, again, I just want to follow the system. And, again, typically, you know, this is what we found to be the most successful franchisee, somebody who is just willing to follow the system. So, again, this is our first great quote in franchising and our first podcast. It was kind of historic, so we'd love to hear your feedback as we get into the whole world of podcasting now. We think this is going to be a great additional service to our listeners because, again, our shows are very detailed. You know, they're typically, as you know, for our listeners, 60 minutes in length. So what Don and I would like to do is kind of highlight some great quotes from each show. So if you don't have 60 minutes to hear the show, you can go and listen to the podcast and listen to some highlights or some great learning lessons in franchising. So we hope you enjoy this one. Again, we'd love to hear your feedback, and thanks for listening, and we'll see you again soon with another great quote in franchising from Franchise Interviews. Take care, everyone.